Do you remember when it was like to be a teenager? When you knew everything and had all the answers? And if you don't remember, Aiden can help you out. She has all the answers. I remember those good old days. But I think 1 Corinthians is a good analogy of that. They had all the answers. Paul's absence, the church had become incredibly arrogant. There were divisions among them based on which former pastor they had liked best. And now they had become judgmental and rebellious regarding Paul. Paul's two-fold aim was to bring healing to the disunity and lead them to spiritual obedience. That was his goal and his plan. Now, Paul speaks to both of these issues as he attempts to bring them to a conclusion before moving on. And we saw last week of chapter 3, the end of it, it said whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Paul wanted them to recognize they're all on the same team. Yes, Peter had a different dispensation, Peter had a different program, but they all had the same goal, and they all had the same plan, was to understand salvation. They were all working towards that same goal. And I think that's what the Corinthians were having problems with. They found somebody they liked better than somebody else. So Paul wants to bring this unity here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 are probably two of my favorite verses in the whole book of 1 Corinthians. And the way that Paul describes himself and the leaders in the church, but every single one of us. So here in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're probably not going to get much farther than verse 1 and 2, but we'll see how far we can go. But that word ministers in a lot of other places have servants of Christ. We should regard ourselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. We are under rowers. We are servants of Christ. He's the captain of our lives. And we do whatever he says. We go wherever he leads. We are servants of Christ. And the mysteries of God, there is a reference to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's first break down verse 1. It says, let a man so account of us, or regard. Think of. The basic idea is to calculate. Here it means to a result of calculation, evaluate, estimate, look upon, consider. The Corinthians may have called Paul a lot of things, but here Paul says the category in which you should place me in your mind is that of a trusted servant of God. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. If you go back to the Greek, it's actually the word servant. Servant, minister. It's frequently used in technical term for a governmental or other official, one who functions as a helper in a subordinate capacity, a helper, an assistant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The slave, minister, servant. He goes on to say stewards of the mysteries of God. That word steward is one entrusted. Oikonomia, a manager of a household, of estate. It's a steward of what you have been entrusted with. And our last word of verse 1 is mysteries. The third, the mysterion, mystery. It's a secret. The wonderful truth of the cross of Calvary, what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And this is where we're going to be most of this morning, is that word mysteries. There are so many things to that. We'll be looking at the mysteries that are recorded in Paul's epistles, Romans through Hebrews, Romans through Philemon. We'll just see how often Paul makes reference to the mysteries. He says, let a man so account of us and of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You can remember back in the Old Testament when God was telling Abraham that he was going to be a father of nations with many people, And what was Abraham's answer? How can it be? I don't have a son. All I have is this steward, Eliezer of Damascus. Now, what in the world was Abraham talking about? He was a manager. Now, our word economy really comes from that same root word that we get steward. Economy, steward, manager. It's in control of something. And he goes on in verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You can maybe think of it this way. Say you owned a business and you moved to another state and you put somebody in charge of that business. Are you going to want somebody crooked and untruthful and dishonest? And no, you're going to look for somebody that is trustworthy, with integrity, honesty. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I've passed out, I think you guys all got this, but you see the wheel here. And as we continue on, these are just a bunch of verses that have that word mystery in there. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. That make up this truth, the body of Christ, Pauline epistles, faithful and honest. He has to be a good, faithful steward of what belongs to us. And as we begin to understand the right division, as we begin to understand the dispensational truth of the age of grace, we have to be good stewards with that, and we have to be found faithful. You can start with Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The nation of Israel has been blinded. They were God's chosen people until the Apostle Paul was saved. Now they are blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The Old Testament understood that God would one day save the Gentiles. But the nation of Israel, and the plan was for it to come through the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he was the Son of God, and then they would go spread it to the Gentiles. But that never happened. They rejected him. And he displaced them from Jerusalem and dispersed them into the nations of the world. And now he has gone to the Gentiles with the gospel of the grace of God, which was a mystery, a secret kept in the mind of God. Look at Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, which is Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That word is just a secret, which was kept secret since the world began. So ever since the creation, this had never been revealed, that God would take salvation to the Gentiles by faith and faith alone, until the nation of Israel was set aside, until the Apostle Paul was saved on that road to Damascus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Jesus was the Christ. And in that next verse, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the world had known that Jesus Christ was coming, that he was going to save all mankind from their sins, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. They had to keep it a secret. The nation of Israel should have known who he was. The nation of Israel had plenty of opportunity to know it. All they had to do was study the Old Testament. And we can jump all over the nation of Israel and be upset with them that they didn't know who Jesus was. But I don't think we're any different today. I mean, you can look at America. I bet you 90% of Americans have a Bible in their house somewhere. But they don't know who Jesus Christ is. They don't know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't know what the Apostle Paul is. They don't know. I saw a TikTok the other day. Yeah, I know what TikTok is all of a sudden, but somebody shared a TikTok with me that he was going around asking, hey, do you know a Bible verse? 10 different people couldn't even quote a Bible verse. You know, the world doesn't know. We are no different than the nation of Israel today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Again, the word for mystery again. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Jump one more over. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Here it says, behold, I show you a mystery. What is this secret? What is this mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're not going to go up into heaven in this old body. We're not going to die if we're part of that secret, which is the rapture when it happens. We won't die. We'll meet him in the air, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. You can even find this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And I was talking to somebody yesterday that, you know, again, pre-trib or post-trib. To me, I don't understand how you can even believe in post-trib. And I apologize for saying that. When you begin to understand right division, when you begin to understand the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, the rapture is a secret that was only revealed to the Apostle Paul, so it can't be a part of the body of Christ. I'm sorry, let me rephrase it. The rapture is a part of the body of Christ, therefore it cannot be a part of prophecy. To me, the rapture has to occur before the tribulation. The rapture has to take place in the age of grace, in this dispensation. If we begin the tribulation, we're back into the prophetic program. The minute the tribulation begins, we are now in the prophetic program. And that's what we talk about, the difference, and you'll see it in a second. We're not going to go very far into this, but you can see the basic distinctions between prophecy and mystery, and this will help you too. But we've got to pay attention to that. The rapture will happen before the tribulation begins. We are living in the age of grace. We are living in this mystery. We are living in this secret. And there's many things to the mystery. The rapture was kept secret, only revealed to the Apostle Paul. The body of Christ was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. Our spiritual blessings in heaven were only revealed to the Apostle Paul. Jump over with me to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You can see the rapture here as well. 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, here's the gospel again, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Another reason that the rapture occurs, to me, before the tribulation. How can we comfort one another with these words if we're going to go through the tribulation? There is no comfort in the tribulation. There is no hope in the tribulation. There is no... The tribulation, again, goes back to the prophetic program. We can find the entire tribulation in the Old Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The second coming is totally different than the rapture, and a lot of people get those mixed up as well. And we got to be careful not to mix. The second coming has to do with prophecy. It happens after the tribulation. The rapture, a part of the secret, the mystery, the age of grace, the Apostle Paul, it comes before the tribulation. You can jump over to it with me to Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. I know we're going through a lot of verses. That's why I gave you the wheel to take home with you, so you can go home and study it. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Here he says, having made known, that is speaking of Christ and our position in him, unto us the mystery, secret of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, when everything is complete, he might gather together all in one things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Paul says this is a secret now revealed. That is the hope of the believer, that when God brings everything to its culmination, we go into eternity, we will be the objects of his eternal purpose. And what was his eternal purpose? His mercy and his grace in saving lost sinners. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 3. We read this one quite often. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, in other words, everything that he wrote in the first two chapters, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. This was revealed to the Apostle Paul, only to the Apostle Paul, and no one else. How that by revelation it was revealed to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, directly to him. He didn't get it from other men. He made known unto me the mystery. Again, we have the word mystery again. This is what the mysteries of God are in 1 Corinthians 4, 1. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is another part of the secret, another part of the mystery, that Jews and Gentiles are now one. We don't need the nation of Israel. We don't have to go do all the Jewish traditions to be saved. The nation of Israel was blinded. It is now open up to the body of Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, Jew, Gentile, red, black, yellow, white, doesn't matter. We can all come to a saving knowledge of his son because of what his son did on the cross of Calvary. We are now joint heirs with Christ. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's a joint heir there, an inheritance. Verse 8 and 9 in the same passage. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Again, that's another word for secret. You can't, unsearchable means you can't go to the Old Testament and find it. You can't go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find it. It's unsearchable because it's only where the Apostle Paul said, here it is. In verse 5, it says, in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to me. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That is our calling. It is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That is what we are here to do. You can look at Ephesians 6:19. And we need to pray for this. This is exactly what needs to be our prayer for today. And it says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Throughout Scripture, throughout Genesis, all the way to Revelation, there was salvation. But in the dispensation of innocence, it was drastically different than in the age of grace. In the dispensation of law, it was drastically different than in the age of grace. It was always faith plus something. It was always faith plus something. Now it is faith alone. And the Apostle Paul says, "Give me boldness. Give me words to speak so I can speak the mystery." He wants to be bold about the gospel, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. Another one is Colossians 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister." Again, he is made a servant. He is made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Again, this was given to the Apostle Paul to give to us so we could give out to others, to fulfill the word of God. "Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." It was hidden until the Apostle Paul. It was hidden until now. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Even for the nation of Israel, that Holy Spirit came and left. It came and went. Now we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have the Holy Spirit. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance or understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 4, 2 and 3, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." We need to pray for that boldness. We need to pray for that desire. We need to pray. The Apostle Paul is praying for boldness to share the mystery. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important part of that mystery, but it goes deeper into doctrine than that. The mystery and the age of grace and the death, burial, and resurrection is the mystery. The mystery is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people don't fully understand that or fully grasp it, but that's where it all comes from. Jump back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And you can take that other sheet home just to see the basic distinctions between prophecy and mystery, where it talks about in verse 1 here, "Let O man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Everything on the right side, the mystery, concerns a body. The body given a position in heaven. Christ its living head. The body chosen in Christ before the world began. Jew and Gentile placed on the same level before God. These are all a part of the mystery. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling them to be, as good stewards of that. To be found faithful. Verse 1 and 2 teaches us how to be successful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful to what? The stewards of the mysteries of God. The stewards of what the Apostle Paul has taught us. understanding the Word of God, studying the Word of God, being in the Word of God. We have to be stewards of the mysteries of God. He continues on, 3 through 5, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." The Apostle Paul here talks about how he handles criticism. The often harsh judgments of those at Corinth. And he says, "I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human, whether he's judged by church members or even a human court of inquiry. Paul isn't concerned." But he even takes that a step further and he says, "Indeed, I do not even judge myself." I would have to agree that we are the worst critics of ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We feel upset. We missed an opportunity. We didn't do this. And that is Satan's job, getting into our head and messing with ourselves. We are the most critical of ourselves, whether it's our physical, whatever it is, we beat ourselves up more than other people. And Paul is talking about that too. "I judge not my own self." He applies grace to himself, and he's healthier for it. He says, "My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." Paul doesn't continue on with a guilty conscience. He is quick to ask for forgiveness and move on. But he realizes that the human mind is capable of all kinds of rationalizations of our actions. And the more we listen to that, the more we believe it. So excusing ourselves doesn't settle the matter. God is the judge and will issue his final judgments and praise on the day of judgment. I love the end of verse 5, because he says, "And then shall every man have praise of God." You know, it says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." The gradual interior change is called sanctification. The work of the Holy Spirit is to build Christ's character in your heart. Pride can't see its own flaws. Humility can, and grace can wash them away. On Judgment Day, don't expect just harsh words. You're going to get some praise as well. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. But let us all be stewards of the mysteries of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God and what we've learned today. We just pray that we will all be stewards of the mysteries of God. That way we can be stewards and be found faithful. You have put us in charge of the Word of God. You have put us in charge of what we are called to do here on this earth. And you've given us talents, you've given us abilities, you've given us opportunities. But it tells us that we all need to be found faithful in the stewards of the mysteries of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians 3:9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And I just pray that each and every one of us will pray for that boldness, pray for that opportunity to share the gospel of your Son dying on the cross of Calvary. And we just thank you and we give you all the glory and honor. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.